This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
At Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, at Cody underscore Stoots on Twitter. I'm in for at Pac-Man Joel on The Usual Suspects today, ESPN 97.5.
Boys, we got to get back to NFL, but we haven't done any text, and you know I like to keep the peoples involved.
Get them, yeah.
Early on Amazon, B's brother just said, glad to have you back. I won't read the original text because it was disparaging to other people, but they just said glad to have you back.
What'd they say about Jerome?
They just said that they would prefer you over Jerome.
Which is not,
I didn't want to read that, Cody, but by the way, I didn't get to a text yesterday.
Okay.
That just said that when they first heard you, that they were kind of, but now they look forward to hearing you on the radio.
Oh,
so you're getting a ton of love, man.
Hey, how about that?
Yeah, getting a ton of love on the text line.
People are nice on the text line.
I can't. I know it's rare. It's really
strange.
Rare. Awesome show yesterday, except for the Bills versus Oilers clip. I would agree with that.
Yeah, well.
At least it was the last thing out the door.
We were exercising the demons, man.
You're right.
You know, we were exercising the demons.
We do have a couple of emails already for the Usual Suspects Weight Loss Challenge. If you want to get in, we are doing it again this year. Make sure you text your name and email to 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. Just all I need is your name and your email, and you're good to go, and we'll email you the particulars and when it gets started. I'm thinking the 14th, but we'll find out. But yes, we're doing it again. I'm excited. Vortex is on board and sponsoring it, so nice. I'm excited about that. So, yeah, we're doing this again, so you have about a week to get fatter, and then we're going to get you thin.
And DM Barry your before pictures.
Damn it. I'm glad you're gone an hour three when I bring this up again.
I'll take over then.
Oh, you bastards. I'm glad Cody is there again today, but I was looking forward to listening to two brothers talk about their different tastes in women. That was all texting, no tweeting. Yeah, everyone thinks I'm black when they hear the show. I don't know why. But everybody thinks I'm black, so then when Jerome does the show, they're like, oh, look at that, two black guys doing the show.
I had the discussion with Raheel the other day, and he was talking about how, you know, Granado's very proud of his heritage, and the Hispanic community has embraced him.
Yes.
Okay. And then how Raheel is, well, Raheel.
Right.
Dell is Dell. And then Charlie is older.
Is that what y'all went with? Just older?
Okay.
Okay. All right. Charlie might be the whitest guy I've ever met.
And then
I mean the whitest white man I've ever met.
You think he buys Sunbeam bread? White?
I mean,
white is
the way, you can just tell because the way he pronounces certain words.
Yeah.
It's like via the text line. Like no one says that except the whitest white guy.
The old English.
Ye old text line.
And so then I was talking to Raheel and I was like, yeah, and then everybody thinks Barry's black.
I don't know why is that. What is that?
I don't know.
Just because I have so much soul, so much flavor. I don't know. Somebody said that they're watching Selena tonight because of me.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
You don't want to miss my ass in Selena and my big ass nose. Don't make sure you tune in on Selena so you can see Barry's butt and big bird nose. Yay.
I don't know how this is probably a total waste of my time, but, well, it is. I know it is. I got caught watching it. So Mean Gene Okerlund died, and I was watching some old Mean Gene clips, and he was interviewing this one wrestler, and I was like, I don't recognize that wrestler, so I looked up who his name was. And I was like, what's he doing now? Is he dead? Because that's always a question you have to ask on an old wrestler that you hadn't heard from in a long time.
Right. Is he dead?
Is he dead?
Right.
Okay. So he was not dead. His name, I think, was Mike Sanders or something like that. And at the bottom of his wiki, it said he's now an actor. And I was like, oh, good for him. He went from wrestling to acting. And so it's like his website's blah, blah, blah. So I clicked his website. And I was like, okay, I can't wait to see what he's been in. Like, you know, has he been like... And I was thinking to myself, to go from wrestling and how he wasn't like a big-name wrestler to like, if he was doing Lifetime movies, or he was like, you know, the lead guy in like a D or a C movie or like a sci-fi movie,
yeah,
like, that's good for him.
Like no. Busty Cops on Cinemax or something like that. Yeah.
No, one quite... He's like... And he puts together the reel. And I guess you got to, you know, but he's like unnamed FBI agent.
No.
He's...
Guy number four.
He's judge that has one line.
That's his character name?
It's, and it's like...
Oh, Judge One Line.
And it's like, oh boy.
That's terrible.
There ain't much sizzle to this reel.
There's no... Damn, that sucks.
And then I
wouldn't even put that out. If that was my whole reel, I'd be like, you know what? I'll just build. I'll build on it. And like when I didn't have a good video of me doing stand-up, I didn't just throw out something that somebody recorded on their phone while I was doing an open mic. You just wait.
Yeah, and then I realized I was the one on YouTube watching this guy's reel, and I was like, who's the bigger loser? Who's the bigger loser?
You're the one critiquing it. You know, I really didn't believe him that he was a judge with one line. It really felt like a judge with two lines.
I don't know.
He oversold it.
I don't know that I thought he played the sheriff that delivered the eviction notice well.
I feel like I wanted more anger when he taped the eviction notice on the door and walked away. No lines. He just walks up, ding, ding, and that's it.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah, so my sizzle reel would be just me running up to the hood of a car as my nose and ass passes by the camera and just plopping my gun down. That's my whole sizzle reel as an actor. That's it. Oh, and also I did a commercial for Journeys at Sharpstown Mall back in the day.
What?
Didn't get paid.
No,
it was,
of course
they
not.
Just had me. You know, Journeys always had all the TVs yeah. on the wall. I don't know if they still do that.
I don't think so.
But they had like 9 TVs on the wall. And so they put a box. I don't know if this was a Sharpstown Mall commercial or what it was.
A blast from the past, Sharpstown Mall.
Right? But I used to work at the Journeys there. I met the Ghetto Boys at the Sharpstown Mall.
Yeah, I used to live in Sharpstown. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Like, that was a scary mall, by the way.
That was.
I can remember going to my car one day.
Not for you, you're fake black.
There you go.
No, when you see a body outlined in chalk in the parking lot, that gets scary. You're like, oh, damn.
Yeah, it wasn't the safest part of town.
No, not at all. No, people would rob the mall. They would go, like, how do you rob a... You rob a store in the mall? They would rob the information desk. How do you rob a mall?
Yeah, it wasn't like that in the 70s and the 80s, but it was
in the late 80s and early 90s when I worked there.
Yeah.
I tell you what, there's probably late 99, and I had my grandma's like, you need new shoes? And I was like, yeah, grandma, I do need new shoes. She's like, where you want to go? I was like, Foot Locker. She goes, all right. So we went to the Foot Locker at Sharpstown Mall.
Oh, good luck.
Let me tell you, little me rolling through there with my old grandma. We had to look like that. I'm sure I didn't get robbed just because I had my grandma with me. But there were some people that were probably thinking, like, you know what? If that kid ain't catching me, he ain't catching me. And she ain't,
take those Jordans.
She ain't holding on to that. I know. I remember I got Nike Shocks.
Oh, that was back in the day with the Shocks?
Yeah,
yeah. God, are those not the ugliest shoes ever now that you look back on it?
Got them home.
You're not wearing yours, are you?
No.
Okay. Still re-rocking
them. They were in back then, though, man.
God, they were ugly, though, when you look back.
Got them home. One of the Shocks was loose. I was like, Grandma, we got to go back. She's like, oh, man.
I don't think so, baby.
I don't know. Let me get some glue.
Grandpa's got some duct tape. Yeah. We ain't going back to Sharpstown Mall.
And then the Shocks, they were terrible. Like, there was no actual Shock. Later on, I worked at a shoe store. Well, I didn't work at a shoe. I was like a sporting goods store that sold shoes. And some lady was like, yeah, I'm getting ready to run a marathon. Would these be good for me? And I was like, man, we get commission if we sell the Shocks. the Brooks over there don't give a commission.
Right?
I love running in them. Run them every day.
All the time. Then you'll dunk.
I just told her, I was like, ma'am, I just don't have your size. I'm sorry. You need to get those.
Really?
Yeah. She's like, well, I'll come back for some of these for just leisure. And I was like, that's a good idea.
I hated working at Journeys. I made a lot of money. I did real well, like money-wise for a kid in high school. But I hated that job. And touch people's feet. Oh, God. It was horrible.
Man.
I got to the point where I would just take the shoe out of the box and just hand it to them.
That's the thing.
I'm not lacing it. I'm not putting it on your foot now. If it was like a hot chick, I might. But then you'd be like, God. No, but then they'd have all busted feet. And you're like, oh, damn, girl. You got to take care of everything.
And so there's few things worse in this life than realizing that you're at the shoe place, and they don't want you to just hand them the shoe.
Right. They want you to put... Bitch, you ain't Cinderella, okay? Or, I'm not putting this on your nasty-ass foot.
Or try to stick some shoe on their wiggling kid.
Right.
Like, yeah. Parents come in, get fitted for cleats, and I'd be like, he wears a whatever.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll bring it. And then she's like, well, how are you going to make sure it fits? I'm like...
Yeah. I don't know.
You need to buy this thing 2 sizes bigger, and he'll just grow into it.
Yeah. I did the Journeys thing for 3 years I worked there. But I made, dude, I was making almost like $2,000 a month.
Wow.
In sales in high school.
Oh, my God. You were rich?
Yeah, I was doing well.
That's really good.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't make $2,000 a month now.
That was before taxes and everything. Okay, gotcha. But like, yeah, I was. They wanted me to be a store manager and all. I'm like, bitch, I'm in high school.
Well, yeah,
I'm not making this a career. People's but feet is not my career.
They tend to hire
Al
young
Bundy.
Yeah, but even the Journeys by my house, they tend to hire mostly young cat, like high school and very early into college. They don't really hire older people.
It's funny the way I got the job. I was a busboy at the Olive Garden. And this dude named Glenn that worked at the Journeys at Willowbrook Mall. I was the Olive Garden at Willowbrook.
Yeah.
I was a busboy there. And I was doing good there. I was making like $50 a day in tips as a busboy. And Glenn comes in and I'm getting tea for him and we're joking and I'm messing with him. And he just goes, have you ever sold anything? And I said, no. And he goes, do you want to make $1,000 a month? And I was like, yeah. He goes, all right, meet me at Journeys tomorrow at the mall.
I was going to say, meet me in the bathroom.
Come to my van. Come to my van and bring some lotion. What? What does that mean?
Now that would have been hilarious.
But no, I met him at Journeys. He got the job, and I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
It was, for high school money, it beat Whataburger money because I ended up, right before I got out of high school, my last job was at Whataburger, and God, that was horrible.
Don't disparage the name.
Terrible. It was terrible.
I'm going to assume you were at a bad one then.
I had friends that robbed the Whataburger that I worked at.
When you were on shift?
While I was there.
Inside job!
No, I was not involved in this.
Inside job!
But what they did, like, we had this really old lady as a manager. Like, I'm talking like she was like 80, 85 years old. She had no clue what was going on. And two of my friends, all three of us worked there. Two of my friends were like, all right. So one of them says, I'm going to go in the back and I'm just going to knock over a shelf. And then I'm going to yell her name. I'm going to be like, come here, the shelf fell over. And while she was counting money. And so the other one was like, okay, he was working the front. They did it. He knocks the shelf over. She jumps up and runs in there. The other dude just grabs a bunch of cash, puts it in his pocket, and finishes the day. I was like, you guys are idiots. What are you doing? I'm like,
they
I'm not associated with this.
Fries.
Right? We get to eat for free. Oh, just, I had some of the worst friends. I had a friend that robbed the McDonald's he worked at. He went home. He clocks out. He goes home, changes, and comes back and robs the McDonald's. And he's like 5'2 with one eye. I'm like, they're going to know it's you, Charles. What are you doing? It was the worst. I had the dumbest friends ever.
Oh, man. Let's get back into some of those Texans. Barry's got keys to the game. I got a role player that's going to play a big role in the game tomorrow. He's Barry Laminack. That's Nick Sherrar. I'm Cody Stutzen for Joel Blank here on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sherrara.
But it's a difference. It's a difference in cultures. I swear to God, it's a difference. Because just for example, you know, I have white friends, I have black friends. My white friend catches my husband out cheating one night. I know it, ladies, I know it. Well, she calls me. This is exactly how that goes. Bring, 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 bring. Hello, Crystal. This is Becky. Becky with the good hair? Yeah. I just saw Chris. I don't want to cause any problems, but he was with a woman I didn't recognize. Never seen her in our carpool lane. Never seen her eat yoga. And you know, we get down at Zumba, right? Not even that. Just so you know, I would have a conversation with him when he gets home.
Never seen him in my carpool lane before.
Yeah, she's a beast, man. Crystal Powell. Go check her out. JokeJointComedyShowcase.com for tickets. Or hit her up on Twitter. If you go to, we tweeted her Twitter handle from the station account and my account, so you can check it out as well.
There you go. Barry's account is at Barry is funny. It's at the producer Nick. I'm at Cody _Stutz in for at Pac-Man Joel with a K. That is Pac-Man Joel with a K.
Real quick, and then I'm not going to stop us. We're going to do this NFL. I know it. But we did have a legitimate question about the weight loss challenge. Travis Porter said, for the weight loss challenge, will we have to be present to weigh in? I understand if so, it's just I live in Corpus during the week. Yes, unfortunately, we can't just take a picture or a video. Because, Travis, I'm not suggesting you do this, but there are a bunch of a-holes that cheat. They just ultra competitive, and no matter what, they'll cheat. So you have to go to one of our official weigh-in stations or locations, I should say.
Need to come in person.
Yeah.
For sure.
So unfortunately, yes, you have to be there and weigh in live. But if you want in, 713-780-3776, text your email and name or hit me up on Twitter at Barry's Funny.
It's going to be a pretty snazzy prize pack, huh?
Yeah. We've got some good stuff. Last year we had some good stuff. Got some good sponsors in this year. So yeah, it should be good.
Good.
Okay.
I'll throw in a dessert made by my mom for a celebration if you win.
Nice. Yeah. Actually, you should just throw in your technique at Chick-fil-A. They could be a guest. They could, yeah, a one-on-one Chick-fil-A consultation with Cody. Last year, we had a guy, Mo, from Houston Family Nutrition, who took people to the grocery store, showed them how to grocery shop. Like the right way.
Yes.
Like not just, but so you could do that for.
I could write dissertations on how people have no idea how to shop at the grocery store.
See? You could do the Chick-fil-A and grocery store thing.
Yeah.
I like
it. There you go. All right. This is the per unit. You have to pay attention to this. Okay.
Yes.
All right. So you got some more keys. You brought one key up, the luck turnover that just.
Yeah.
Which is a really. So he doesn't. I wonder if the law of averages is working against him on this. Because he throws a lot that don't get caught, which sounds funny because he's like, you can't throw an interception unless the other team catches it. But he has some that bounces off of DB's
hands.
Potential
interceptions.
Yeah.
He throws a lot
like,
of potential.
Potential interceptions. To me, it feels like he does. And then he'll just throw you one. Like the Titans hung around because Luck just threw him one a couple weeks ago.
You see dudes walking off the field pounding on their helmet like he does often.
Yes.
He's prone to that. And in fact, only one QB has thrown more interceptions this year than Andrew Luck.
All right. Oh, it's, I don't know.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Wow.
By one. Yeah, it's kind of surprised me. You would think that it would be some of these new cats, you know, Josh Rosen or.
I thought Mahomes would be that guy this year.
No.
I thought he would try to force it
no.
in there.
Ben Roethlisberger is first in the NFL with 16 interceptions, tied for second, Andrew Luck, Case Keenum, and Sam Darnold.
That's shocking, considering how the protection of Andrew Luck has really, it's a lot better this year than it has been in the past. I mean,
yeah.
That's part of the reason why he could not stay healthy. It's because of that O-line and the fact that he's been able to throw that many interceptions, considering the time that he has this year as opposed to before,
yeah.
I think that's telling.
I mean, 15, that's damn near one a game, that he's just going to give you an interception, one a game. So, my other keys for this, though, on the Colts side of the ball, I talked about you can't turn the ball over. Texans are really good at taking the ball away and not giving it back to you.
Right.
But they also, I mean, you just mentioned how the protection, and that's one of the keys. The Texans are going to have to make Andrew Luck uncomfortable. And yes, he can run, and yes, he can scramble, and he can hurt you with his legs. But I'm okay with that because I'd rather Andrew Luck hurt me with his legs on occasion than to pick that secondary apart with T.Y. Hilton and Eric Ebron. So I think you definitely have to get pressure on Andrew Luck, and so the Colts have to stop that. They're going to have to, up front, they're going to have to be stout and play like they've played over this 10 games, 9-1 stretch.
The Colts are a really good example, so I'm not in love with the go out there, go draft a bunch of O-linemen and fix it right away. Like, I don't love when people say that, but their argument is the Colts, because the Colts went out there and in 3 years, or 2 years, found three really good offensive linemen, their right tackle, their left guard, obviously, Quentin Nelson, and their center is really good, too. So, quick note about Ryan Kelly. I was listening to this today. Ryan Kelly's got a neck injury.
Mm-hmm.
The center for the Colts, he's going to wear a collar.
Really?
Yes, he's going to wear a collar.
Like the old school Bosworth
neck brace
thing?
I think they call them cowboy collars.
It's
like the kind of the way they call, but it's a collar. He's going to wear a collar to help. But the concern is that because he's had this neck injury, it's been bothering him, is that it's trickled down into some of his strength. And so that pass rush up the middle is where paying attention.
Yeah.
Like if he's not strong, like late in the game, then get something going up the middle.
A-gap blitzes.
Those clowny rushes where he's just firing in there, that'll be something to pay attention to. Keep firing away. What else you got?
Interesting. And then on the Texans side of the ball, I think it's pretty simple. And to me, and this is the last few games that the Texans have played, and really all year, it comes down to two things. It comes down to the O-line and secondary play. Because you know what this team is, and you know what their deficiencies are, and I feel like that's the two things that they're not good at. Don't get me wrong, losing Thomas hurts. QT's probably going to play. That's going to be a benefit.
Yep.
I still think that the Texans, would be wise to get their tight ends more involved because they don't have any other weapons other than DeAndre Hopkins. But to me, it's the secondary. Can they slow down? You're not going to stop Hilton. And you're probably not going to stop Ebron because we know how this team is susceptible to tight ends going off on them.
Sure.
But I think if the secondary can play well and that O-line can give Watson a little bit of time, just a little bit. You saw last week when he had a clean pocket. I can only remember one play last week where he had a perfectly clean pocket, and it involved having two running backs, by the way. It involved the 20 personnel.
Yep.
He had two running backs on either side. They chipped and then broke out in the flats, but they bought him enough time, perfectly clean pocket, and it was that 40-plus yard pass down the sidelines to DeAndre Hopkins. Those are the two keys to me for the Texans. Secondary, yeah. O-line, if they play well, they'll win this game.
No doubt. No doubt. The Texans, like you mentioned, don't have a ton of weapons right now. The last time they played the Colts, they had a little bit. Thomas was still getting into the groove. No QT the last time they played them.
Yeah.
There's a player, and I really read up on this guy last night. Pierre Desir, who's the corner for the Colts, really crazy story. His parents immigrated here from Haiti. He was 4 when he got here, played wide receiver in high school, was okay, went to a D2 school. They converted him to corner in, like, training camp of his first season. And then he was like, okay, I'm pretty good at this. Got so good, they called him the D2 Richard Sherman. Like, he was just locking cats down at D2. But he had a kid when he was 15, so he's trying to move closer back to home, so he tried to transfer schools. School wouldn't let him transfer to another school. He had to work as like a temp janitor for a while to like make ends meet for his family. Plays in the other D2, gets drafted in the 4th round by the Browns. They cut him. He bounces around a little bit, ends up on the Colts this year. Hopkins torched him the first game in Indianapolis. Anytime Hopkins was defended by him, Hopkins torched him. This kid since, from like that moment on, has gone on like a run, and he has just locked cats down, and the defensive coordinator's like, go out there and shadow him. The last game the Texans played, Hopkins' worst game of the season, yardage total, 4 catches, 36 yards, and Desir shadowed him for most of the game.
Nice.
And you got to think about it. It's a Sherman-type approach. So it's a big guy. It's a lengthy guy. And Hopkins isn't going to blow you away with speed. He can get deep on you, but he's not going to blow you away with speed. A lot of times guys just don't have the length or the durability to stay with him. This Desir kid, if he's on tomorrow, it's over. I mean, because you can't throw it to Hopkins, and it's over.
That's that's the sad part is, you can make the Texans offense, especially in the passing game, one-dimensional.
Yeah.
I mean, if and that's why I don't understand why you don't see more bracket coverage, why you don't. I mean, when the Texans played the Jags, they let Ramsey, who I think had a bad year, third statistically, and like, you know, you look at grades and everything, third best corner on the Jags this year.
Yeah.
And they let him go one-on-one with Hopkins, and that didn't work out. He had 150 yards in receiving. I don't know why more teams wouldn't double Hopkins. You know what? Okay. Beat me, Ryan Griffin.
Yeah.
Beat me, Smith. You know, I'll let any of these other cats beat me. Sure. I'm not going to let. So you're right. It'll be interesting to see if they do let him go one on one or if they do give him some help either over the top of the safety or bracket with a linebacker. That's interesting. He sounds like they're AJ Bouye of a few years ago, where all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, he just emerges as an elite cornerback.
Yeah, that's pretty much what he is.
Crazy.
Him and a few other players on the matchup, I have it on sportsmap.com for you.
Oh, you got it? Is it your article?
Yeah, it's part of our article. It's called Who Better Ball?
Okay.
Yeah, so it's non-stars Who Better Ball if their team's going to win.
Nice.
Yeah, so
and that's just sportsmap.com?
Sportsmap.com.
Up already?
Yeah, up already. You can go click on it.
Sweet.
Right.
You got to tweet that out. We'll retweet it.
We'll tweet it out, but you got to tell people about
I do. Look, fitness. Hey, listen, I told you guys we're doing this weight loss challenge. It's happening. The emails are coming in with names and email addresses to be involved. Might start on the 14th, but here's the deal. One way is to diet. Of course, you know you need to eat well, but you know what you also need to do? You need to work out, and I have just the place for you to do that. It's Vortex. It's Houston's first and only multi-sensory indoor cycling and boxing studio, and I know what you're thinking. Well, cycling is just legs and boxing is just arms. Absolutely not. These are both full-body workouts. I've done the classes. I've left the boxing workout with my calves hurting. That's how good of a full-body workout this is you'll work every single muscle group, including your abs, including your cardio. You'll burn 500 calories sometimes doing one of these workouts in 45 minutes. It's insane, and I love the place. It's luxurious, but it's not expensive. And right now, you can get a $40 unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week special. So you can try it out, see if you like it, go every day, do the classes. All it costs you is the $40 for the entire week. You can do as many as you want. Just go try them all. Try the spin classes in the morning and the night. Try the rumble classes in the morning at night. Make sure you take advantage of that refuel bar. They've got smoothies for you. So when you're done working out, you can put your order in, go do your workout. Smoothies ready when you walk out the door. It's outstanding. I love the place. I love the people there. They're all great, and they care about you and your workout. And I want you to get in shape, and I want you all to be healthy this year. And a great way to do that is at Vortex. 1707 West Gray is where they're located. 281-501-3094 is the number. 281-501-3094. Or just go to VortexTexas.com.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the rear view, 90 through the windshield. Let's go!
I think he was more excited to say it than we were watching him or listening.
You should have seen him at the break. He could not wait. He was so amped up. He was practicing. He looked like a little kid the night before a play in junior high. He was doing his lines. He was,
that was great.
I want to flub this.
That was fantastic.
Ben tweeted in, 90 nuggets in the gut, 90 more on the plate. Daddy needs more sauce.
That's great.
I one time I did house like almost a whole catering tray of chicken nuggets from the chicken fillet place.
Uh huh.
Because we had I was doing a high school baseball playoff game. And I was in the press box. It was playoffs, so they were like, "We're gonna cater this thing. We're getting a nugget tray."
Right.
And then the transformer blew and the power went out at the field. It was a night game, and I didn't have any power. And so I called the station. And I said, "Hey, play commercials till we're back."
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there, just home, 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 just nugget after nugget, man.
How many do you think you ate?
60 easy.
Oh my God! Oh yeah, 60 nuggets?
Just firing them down.
You could eat 60 nuggets?
Yeah. Back then, definitely. Now okay. I don't know.
Okay.
Back then, definitely.
Do you do a lot of those like food challenges?
I'm a certified professional eater.
Are you?
Like I'm a you member a of...
I thought you were going to say cook.
I'm a member of IFOCE, which is International Federation of Competitive Eating. IFOCE. I've come in second in like 4 hot dog eating contests.
Really?
Yes.
Is that a euphemism or is that actual like hot dog eating?
It's okay. Fact. It's a factoid.
Okay. I didn't know if it was just a euphemism for something else.
No.
Like, okay. I thought maybe you were coming out right now. I was like, no. Well, good for you.
No.
No. I used to do some of those food challenges. You know who's big on that too is AJ.
Really?
Oh, yeah. You guys need to compete because he can eat. He's a legit fat ass. He's for real.
He's gone around to like different barbecue spots. Yeah. And he did that. I don't know if it was a challenge.
He drove
all
over the state for a cooler. He had to drive to like 50 different places just for a cooler to eat barbecue.
Oh.
And he did it. But we've done food challenges together. And I can eat a lot. I did a wing challenge. I ate like 60 wings in an hour. And so like,
that's a lot.
Yeah. Well, for me. Oh,
okay. For you.
But he's like, we did this thing called the Whataburger challenge. I don't know if you remember seeing that, but I'm sure you could do this, but it was basically you have to eat all 4 favorites plus an onion ring plus a medium shake.
All 4 favorites plus an onion ring plus a medium shake.
Within an hour. He did it in 20 minutes.
AJ did?
Yeah.
That's actually.
So you got to do the honey, the chicken strip sandwich, the chop house, the patty melt. And then there's one other one. Man, and they're all double meat.
Man, they can take that sweet
Texas toast.
They can take that sweet and spicy burger and then get rid of that.
But you got to do that. You know what kills you is the shake.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's those 4 plus the onion rings, and then the shake is just
super filling.
Yeah. So I did it in like 50 minutes.
And I always.
But I finished it. But I did it in 50 minutes.
I was 90 minutes away from that 72-ounce steak up there in Amarillo. And I'm always upset that I never went up there and tried it.
Really?
Yeah, because that's like the big Texas steak challenge. You got 72-ounce steak and the baked potato and the shrimp cocktail and the roll.
And you have how long to eat it?
An hour.
Damn.
Yeah, that was Adam Richmond's.
And you were how close?
I was 90 minutes away because I lived in Lubbock when I was going to school up there.
Okay, I thought you were 90 minutes away from finishing it. I was like, that math doesn't work.
No.
Okay.
No, I think I could have done it back in the day. Now, you know, I don't know. I've been through the ringer a little bit.
A couple of texts before we get back to the Texans. Where'd it go? L.U. Dillon checking in. He said, L.U. Dillon here. Guys got fired today. And I appreciate the suspects keeping me up today. Yeah, man.
Oh, good.
Very, very sorry to hear that.
Glad we can help.
Sorry, L.U. Dillon. Get back on your feet, bro.
He also said, I have as many prospects lined up as Nick has chins.
Well, now you can kiss my ass, L.U. Dillon. Okay? What'd you do? Why'd you get fired? Did you eat everything in the fridge over there at work? Why'd you get fired, L.U. Dillon?
I like how Nick just completely, it was like, oh, that sucks. You know what? Kiss my ass. I'm glad you got fired. Like, complete 180 by you, Nick.
If that's true, get back on your feet, sir.
Oh, man. Yeah, that does suck. When's Cody getting a permanent spot on the radio? I enjoy it. This is good radio. Good for you, bud.
Hey, thank you.
You need a show.
Okay.
Not this one. Like, you can't have my seat. No way. But, we need to get you, what is there, an hour somewhere we can throw him on and get him his own show? Not ours. You can kiss my ass.
Not here.
No.
Not here.
No, but we can need some, you. You need to be involved in the lineup.
You're rooting for me, just not us.
Yes, not here.
Not here.
I want to see you succeed, just not past me.
Right.
I want to see you do good, but not better than me.
Sure.
How about that?
That's
right.
That's,
I'm rooting for you.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Okay. Somebody want to know how long does the weight loss challenge last? I'm trying to decide when to do my yearly Coke binge.
Oh, good Lord.
I want to say through March-ish. It'll probably be done before the week of March Madness or before the finals. That way people can enjoy the finals and eat bad. So it'll probably be somewhere around the Final Four, I'm guessing.
Finals. Okay.
Yes, cool. The Final Four. You two are hilarious together. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Very nice.
Barry, can you put a list of your jobs on Twitter? At this point, I'm trying to figure out what jobs you haven't had. I have had a lot of jobs in my lifetime. That is true. I feel like, you ever watch In Living Color when they would have the Jamaicans on?
Yeah.
They'd be like, you only got 17 jobs, man. You lazy boy. That's kind of, I do feel like that in a way. So, all right, we're caught up.
I can't let this one pass because we talked about how dumb they are. PETA tweeted out this.
Okay.
Present your best argument for eating bacon.
Bitch, it's bacon. Done. What argument are you talking about, PETA?
What argument do I need to present? Bacon.
It's delicious.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
The smoky greatness.
Right?
Fits on the sweet and savory things.
PETA's, that's a, boy, I couldn't imagine the troll job that just went down on the PETA Twitter page because of that. I would imagine some of the stuff that they got was hilarious.
Present your best argument for euthanizing 85% of the animals that go into your shelters.
Suck it, PETA.
That is...
That should have shut the whole thing. They should have deleted the tweet right there.
That is quite literally the first 18 responses.
Is it?
Is like, yeah, hey, present your best argument for your kill shelters, PETA. And the response is like, here's the truth about our last resort shelters.
Damn. I don't know if there's any group that gets more hate than PETA.
I feel like they welcome it because I've been seeing them get hate on Twitter. Like, people quote tweet their tweets all the time. Like, it's almost like they welcome it. They don't care.
It's like they subscribe to the there's no such thing as bad publicity. Even if they're getting raked over the coals like that, they're like, well, hey, you know what? They're talking about us.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They brought us up.
I used to think that, you know what? Good for them for some of the things they do. I just kind of hate PETA now. Like, I don't feel like...
They're just annoying. If they were less annoying about it, they probably would have more success.
And pick your battles. You know, like, pick your... There are legitimate reasons to have an organization like PETA around. I get it. But pick your battles. Like, you know, people are... Our whole design as humans was to also eat meat, to eat animals. Like, that's the whole way this whole thing was designed. Whether you believe in God or you just believe in natural selection, either way, this was all designed for us to eat animals. So, I don't know what to tell you, but I don't know. Go save the whales. That's a cause I can get behind. Save elephants and the ivory. I'm behind that. They should be involved in that.
I don't know, man. I like pianos.
Bacon, kiss my ass. Yeah, don't take away my bacon.
You stay away from
Take away my bacon from my cold, fat, dead hand. No way.
Yeah. You ever tried to grab a piece of bacon? It's real greasy. You're not pulling it out of my hand when I got a good hold of it.
No. Yeah. You're better off trying to save a live tiger. Less dangerous.
This is Barry Laminack, Nick Sherrard, Cody Stutz in for Joel Blank here on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sherrara.
At Barry is funny, at the producer Nick, I'm at Cody underscore Stutz on Twitter, in for at Pac-Man Joel today on The Usual Suspects. Why you tweet this out? Early ranking for 2019 MLB's top free agents. Fantastic. Harper's still a free agent right now, though, right?
Yeah, Machado is too. Yeah. Why are you...
Well, who's tweeting that out? What's going on here? What are you doing?
That's just somebody trying to get clicks, I guess.
Yeah, why clicks?
Well, look at you, you sucker.
Damn it. You got me.
Got him.
Got me. I bought the warranty on that thing I didn't need, too.
Right? Yeah. On the USB charger?
Right. Yeah. Oh, by the way, you buy the little extra protection from... the big
Best
box
Buy?
The big box retailer that
has I not supposed to say it?
Yeah, that has no, not that one. Oh. I'm sure it works for them too.
Uh-huh.
But it's not Prime Extra Protection, I'll tell you that much.
Really?
I had some headphones. Headphones went goofy. I contacted them about the extra protection, and they go, "Yeah, you know what's wrong with it?" And I'm like, "Yeah, this is what's wrong." And they go, "Okay, well, it's still under warranty. That's under warranty for that company for 18 months. Talk to them." And I go, "Why did I buy 2 years of protection if I had 18 months worth of warranty?" He goes, "Because we cover when water gets in it." I'm like,
what?
Get away from me.
I do a lot of swimming and listening to my headphones.
Yeah.
I was like, idiot.
Get away from me.
Yeah, that would piss me off.
All right, Barry, I got a question for you about this NFL playoff
Fire
weekend.
Away.
Is Nick Foles at the helm of Philly once again, is that the best storyline of this weekend? Because there's plenty of stuff. You got Watt back in the playoffs, Luck back in the playoffs.
Yep.
Philip Rivers' 5-year drought from the playoffs.
Yep.
It's coming to an end. He's back. Lamar Jackson's a great story. That's cool. The Bears and Khalil Mack is cool. But Nick Foles getting the chance to maybe do it all over again. Is that the most interesting story in this weekend?
I think it has the potential to be.
Okay.
When you look that game, obviously biggest spread. I think Philly is the biggest road dog in the wild card round. But if he can do what he did last year, then I think it becomes, why in the hell isn't Nick Foles a starting quarterback? He's a 2-time Super Bowl champion.
Right.
But he's a backup. Right. So I think it has the potential to be. To me, the most compelling story is just the Chicago Bears team.
Yeah.
No one expected this Bears team to be as good as they are. They made the move to get Khalil Mack. You've got Trubisky. You've got, Cohen comes out of nowhere and starts tearing up the league. And I just, that whole team of all the storylines, because like you said, I even like the whole comeback player bowl. That's Texans Colts, right? It's J.J. Watt and it's Andrew Luck. There's your comeback player bowl. I like that story. Cowboys and the Seahawks coming out of nowhere.
It's like two teams looking in a mirror.
Yeah.
Really good linebacker play. Stud pass rusher. Good quarterbacks.
Ravens look like the Ravens team that won a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer at the helm with that defense.
Yep.
And the fact that they had a quarterback change mid-year. How many teams can say they changed quarterbacks? Not because of injury like the Eagles. They just changed quarterbacks. Because they're like, we're going to stick with this guy. And then they make it to the playoffs and they're playing well. Tons, like you said, including Philip Rivers. The Bears is just, I would have never, all these other teams you could have made a case throughout the year, but the Bears just surprised me from the beginning.
The Bears feel to me almost a carbon copy in the situation that they're in of last year's Rams team, where it's young team, young QB, young offensive-minded head coach. Feels like they're arrived a year early, stud defensive player, and, ooh, they got a really tough matchup as the 3-6 because last year the Rams had Atlanta and the Falcons beat them.
Yeah, good point.
And so it's like I was looking at that last night and I was like, that's this over again. Like really tough matchup at the 6. You're the 3 team, young QB, a year ahead of where you're supposed to be. Now the Bears made that trade thinking we're here, we're ready to go this year. But most people thought, okay, Khalil Mack's gonna be nice for them this year, and then next year will really be the year for the Bears. Like,
right?
No, it was this year, and they're there. I tell you what, depending on what happens with the results, you got a lot of really interesting NFL stuff coming out of this weekend. You know, if it's Foles, okay, well here's Philly. They're rolling again. Now they get to go on the road to New Orleans. That's like. Okay, that's probably who they should have faced in the NFC Championship last year.
Right.
Except for the miracle in Minnesota. So it's like there's so many just little tendrils hanging off. But Foles?
I think you bring up – I mean, it's hard to argue.
I'll say this, though. Even if there's not any outward pressure because, like, they snuck in. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, they're playing pretty good, but they're still kind of, you know, iffy overall as a total team. Even if there's not outward pressure, he has to feel it in Philadelphia. Because the people of Philadelphia got to be thinking, oh, we're fine. Nick Foles is the quarterback.
Right.
He did it last year. He'll just do it again. It's like, oh, okay, well, it's just the city of Philadelphia, and they're rabid fans on my back.
Yeah. Do you think he feels extra pressure?
I don't – well, yes, because this could be the start of the catapult to the big contract, the starting job. Somebody investing in him. And so it's not just...
So a Super Bowl MVP doesn't do that.
Well, yeah, it didn't do it for... Well, it was on a contract already.
Yeah, that's true.
So this is the jump. This is the jumping off point. And, you know, if I play really well, can I get the Jags to pay me $20 million a year to be their quarterback? Can I get the...
Giants, maybe? You
know, the Dolphins. The yeah. Giants.
Do you think he's done enough, though? The fact that he got this team to the playoffs as bad as it was going. He started off, he had a rough go of it. Everyone was relieved to see Carson Wentz. Things didn't go well. But here he comes, end of the season, just like last year. And even if they lose this round, this matchup, do you think he's done enough where some teams are going to give him a look?
It's hard to say because there's plenty of teams that could look around and say, like if Jacksonville can look around and say, oh, well, the Bills drafted the third quarterback last year, but he looks like the fifth best quarterback out of that draft.
Mm-hmm.
But they still looked okay, and we think our defense is better than them. We think our weapons are better than them. So we'll just go with a young guy, or maybe we'll just go with a replacement-level veteran as our quarterback. Because you got to think, Flacco's time's over, so Flacco will be out there. Maybe yeah. Tannehill's out there. It's tough to convince yourself to pay when the track record, it's not a season's worth of track record. But he's played really nice yeah. in a lot of these games, including one of the best Super Bowl games ever.
Right.
And so you have to wonder, okay, is this going to be one of those guys that can translate his talents, his abilities to what we do? Because Eagles have been just maximizing what he does. And
you know. Man, when you look at the offensive side of the ball, I love Pro Football Focus as a website, and they have their player grades, which I really
sure.
like. I think they do a good job. I was looking at, because I'm thinking in my head, just off the top of my head, what weapons does Nick Foles have? Is Nick Foles their best offensive player? If you look at it, it's Jason Kelce, and that's their center. And then it's just Alshon Jeffrey is all right. I don't think he puts the fear of God in any defense.
Ertz is nice.
Aguilar.
Ertz is nice, but like...
Yeah, same thing.
I wonder if Ertz's success and how he feel about him is maybe a volume over substance. Because there were a couple times watching the Eagles this year, and I'm thinking... Man, where's Ertz going to make a play on this? Like, how come he hadn't made a play? Like, Wentz just found him nonstop, but it took Foles a minute to get warmed up to
yeah.
it. Then he found him nonstop. It's like, okay, at some point, substance over volume is going to matter to me a little bit. He's not working with a full deck of cards. Like, say, I mean, even a Mahomes, like, I trust their situation and what he's got way, way more than I trust what the Eagles got. Like, they've got guys that are familiar with him, familiar with the team, and that matters to an extent. But overall, like, that's not a ton to work with.
No, it's not. I mean, when you so on the Pro Football Focus on the grades, offensive side of the ball, Jason Kelce, their center, 84.9, which is the highest grade on the offensive side of the ball.
All pro this year.
Yeah. No one else is an 80.
Gee whiz.
So you look at that and you think, damn, what? It's kind of smoke and mirrors for Philly. Now, obviously, their defense is doing a lot for them. They're keeping them in it.
Fletcher Cox and all. Oh,
yeah, he's
there.
A beast. But and then I just, for giggles, I thought, well, let me take a gander, because really on Chicago, you know, you got Cohen, but you look at what does it look like over there for them? There's no 80s. No 80 grades on the offensive side of the ball.
Allen Robinson, super inconsistent.
74.7.
Anthony Miller's hurt right now.
Yeah.
Taylor Gabriel, kind of a gadget player. You got to kind of work to get him the ball. Cohen and Howard split, so it makes sense that they don't have time to, like, get the...
Yeah, Howard is a 70.8. They don't even have Cohen listed right here on this, so... Yeah, really interesting, man. There's not a lot of offense. It's going to be, I think, an ugly football game, but between these two teams.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. Especially if Chicago gets, you know, that random wind and it gets nasty. Remember, Philly had a couple of kicker issues with the Elliott kid? Uh-huh. So
it surprises me, though, the over-under is 41.5, which is the same for Chargers Baltimore. Highest over-under is Colts Texans.
Of course.
At 48.5.
That should be a shootout.
Seattle Dallas 43, and both Chargers Baltimore and Chicago Philly are 41.5.
Yeah, let's put those on Sundays. Let's put the no points on
yeah,
Sundays.
Yeah, on Sundays. Right. Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, thank you so much for joining us again, man. I really appreciate it.
I got to run and go knock out some other stuff on SB Nation.
Well done, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you.
Outstanding work filling in.
There's rumors that
AJ Hoffman's going to join us for the third hour. How about that? Huh?
How about that? We'll cool. leave you guys a little surprise in this chair here.
Thank you, sir.
Do it.
All right. Thank you, guys. Anytime. Really, really, anytime. You want me? You need me? You know? I don't have anything else to do. Usual suspects. Barry Lemon, Nick Schirra. Coming up, AJ Hoffman.
Yep.
For Pac-Man Joel.
We'll be back right after this. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.